Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
That song, you know, I hadn't let that song play long in a long time, but I used to listen to that song years ago. I probably told you people about this, but years ago, my wife had breast cancer. She's been cancer free, I think it's about 9 years now. But I was a new Christian when that happened, been a little bit longer than 9 years now. And I used to get up every morning, it was cold, my God, it was so cold. And I would pull up these Christian songs. That was one of my favorite ones, Onward Christian Soldiers. That particular one you heard, I wish I could remember the name of the little school. It was an all-boys school, I believe it, over in England. And it looked like the kids went in ages from about fourth grade up to, like, junior college. They did a marvelous job. But I tell you what, if I hadn't been a Christian, I was a brand-new Christian, that's what pulled me through. That was the most stressful thing I've ever been through in my life. It was worse than war. It was worse than being in jail. It was worse than anything. I've been in jail, no felonies or nothing. But back when I was young, dumb, not as smart as I am now, and I had to have people bail me out a few times. But there's no felonies. I have no felonious record or anything at all. But I guess a lot of young guys got in jail in those days. Anyway, beside that rabbit trail, I'm going to go back to something with Matt before we bring Jason in. You know, another point was made when me and Lee were down there last week in Mississippi with the league. One of the guys, this guy named Joel Price, he said, and I heard Keith say something about similar to this about 2 weeks ago to one of his speeches. In the coming revolution, the war, race war, whatever, and don't think just because you people out there, you're kind, and you know, all you millennials, it's not your fault because you're kind of airheads. It's because the school, your schools you've been through, they have just totally brainwashed you to make you hate yourself and hate your ancestors for being white. But listen, in the next fight, if we go into a race war, a revolution, and they say that 70% of the American people, it's not the League of the South, these aren't radicals, are saying that there's danger of a revolution in this country based on race. 70%, that was talked about. Also, almost 100% of us, right? You have something to say?
Yeah, I just said China, once we start fighting among ourselves, China will come in, Russia will come in, and they'll choose sides or attack us. We'll get the freaking UN a-holes in here. It's going to be terrible.
You know what? I'm not as afraid of Russia as I am of China because Russia's kind of like us. They're white. But listen, you millennials, you people out there, you may not think of race. You may not think if yourself is racist. And I've said this before, and you're probably, that's okay. But let me tell you what: the blacks, they do, and the browns, they do. What do you think La Raza is? What do you think about La Macha is? La Racha. What do you think about all these organizations are? So your uniform in the next war in this country, your uniform is going to be your skin color. And that's the point they made there. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, they've co-opted all of our brands. You try to wear a Nike symbol and tell me you're not on the side of Colin Kaepernick. I mean, young men, you need to get a manly voice, wear your big boy pants, stop trying to act like little kids. And it's not your fault. I understand. They've brainwashed you, like Eddie said. But on top of that, we've lived in a matriarchal society where you've been from cradle to where you are, 30 years old or whatever, you have been taught that you're supposed to be as tough as Egyptian cotton sheets and satin. And some of you, you know, some of you underneath the blue jeans and the work pants, I swear, and the work boots, I swear that y'all have, like, lace underwear on. I mean, we really have got to toughen up our skins. We've got to get serious about life. Quit working a job that's going to lower your testosterone. I mean, seriously, get out of these office jobs. Get to a work site where you got to work with concrete or something, as something that's going to beat you up sometimes. I mean, you've got to learn to get mean and tough because that's the only thing that's going to survive the future. And that's my opinion. I mean, but that's my recommendation for young men.
You know, Matt, you hit some good points here. And also, I think a responsibility for our show, you, me, Matt, Jacob, Mr. Marine Jeans, well, we can get in touch with him. That is one hard dude to get a hold of. You know, it's up to us. We're older guys, and we're woke. And you're not nearly as old as I am, but you're woke. It's up to us to try to lead as best we can. We can only do so much, but you know what? We have to do what we can. We can't do everything, but we can do something. You know, I know it's a cliche. I'm not a bunch of people, but I'm one. You know, we can do something. But, and I'll go back to what we did in the first part of the show. The ultimate solution is we are going to have to hit our knees. Now, we have to work our butt off. We really do. We have to work till our fingers bleed. And, you know, if it takes our bones in the ground fighting for our people, then so be it. So be it. You know, to quote the lady in one of my favorite Western shows, The Searchers with John Wayne, the lady said, she's talking to John Wayne, you know, it was back in Texas right after the Civil War when it was wild as crap. She said, you know, we beat Texicans. You know, Texican ain't nothing but an animal way out on a limb. And that limb's getting cut off. She said, if it takes our bones in the ground, you know, to make this state a livable place where people come and raise their kids and children and build homes and churches and schools, et cetera, so be it. Well, that's where we are. And I've said this, maybe I'm rambling, but we're not commanded to win. But by God, we are commanded to stay here and resist evil and fight evil. And one of the positive things that were said last week was besides 70% of the people thinking we're going to a revolution, that is certainly not positive. But they said, one of the guys at the meeting down there said that people are really, a lot of the young people are beginning to be woke. Because, you know, what me and Matt have talked about this, you take, I'm not going to mention his name, my grandson worked in slaves, slugged his way through college, and he's one of thousands. Got their college degree, but there's no jobs. They can't get a job. You have to work for in a mall selling clothes. You have to work, a lot of them work in the coffee shops. All these jobs are being farmed out. If you're white, you need not apply, you know, for the base of these major jobs. You take like the light, gas, and water here. Memphis Light, Gas, and Water Company, Lee's a vouch for me. The president is a mulatto. He's, you know, he's like a, what was his name? General Norman, Colin Powell. I call him Large Colin Powell, Small Colin Powell, like descending colon in your intestines, you know, Colin Powell. You know, they are in line to get these jobs. Oh, well, Colin Powell. Oh, you do too, get it? But you know, they're all, and I complained to our senator about this, and they laughed in her face. Light, gas, and water, 90% black employees. The postal services in Memphis, go to the post offices. Oh, there's all black. Any county job, city job. Even the park service jobs, they're all, and not only are they black, but they're all ragheads, man. And you can't understand any of them. It's like you're over in Bangladesh or like you're, you know, in Cairo, and you speak to them, ask them a question, they don't understand a damn thing you're saying. I'm rambling like crazy. But we got to wake our people up some kind of friggin' way. Oh, I hear the music, Matt. Matt, be thinking about what you want to say when we come back, because I'm running my mouth way too much. But I would like to talk about the Tupelo rally they had for Trump. Yes. When we come back, and then y'all take off. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seat.
I'm going to fight for Israel.
Yeah, me too. I stand by Israel. Stand on top of Israel.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The calm before the storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, the calm before the storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Hey, Jason, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. You know, my ears are really crappy. Sam told us that you were on the line, and I did not know it. So please forgive me for letting you hang loose so long. How are you doing, son? Well, I probably, you know what, knowing the way things go, people, here's what happened. I made a major screw up. What a shocker. I know y'all don't think that I ever screw up. Some people say make mistakes. I make gigantic blunders. But Sam had told us that our great guest, Jason Robb, was on the line. I did. Hey, Jason, how you doing, fellow?
Hello, can you hear me?
That's okay.
I can hear you fine. Okay.
Jason, you there, fellow?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Jason, please forgive me. Sam told us that you were on the line. I never heard it. I heard the music. We were sitting here talking, and I run in my mouth.
Right.
But some people make mistakes. I make gigantic screw-ups. I'm sorry you were on the line so long, son. I hope you don't mind me calling you, son.
No, no.
Well, listen, welcome.
Actually, I've enjoyed just sitting here and actually listening and listening to conversations. It's actually been really fantastic. I think you guys are hitting some really good points here.
Well, I appreciate that. Sam told me something. I was really heartbroken. Sam told me that he thinks that Israel hates me now. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I know the Baptist Church loved me, but you know.
Hopefully you'll be able to sleep tonight.
I hope so, because you know, I've always stood on Israel. I've always stood on top of Israel. You know, I don't know why they would hate that again. But I'm going to make a quick comment, and I want you to make a statement. Jason, I want you to get to respond. You know, we were down at the League South with some of the guys last week down in Potts County, Mississippi, with that Emmett Till thing that they did down there. But the guy who ran, well, in fact, your friend of mine, Sean Wexler, I guess. What's his last name now? Yeah, there you go.
Winkler.
He said that he was talking about this Tupelo, Mississippi Trump rally. They had a Trump rally. He said the place was just flush, just lousy with Israel, with flags, you know, the Star of David flags, man. What do you think about that?
Right. Well, I mean, it's pretty disgusting. But I think, unfortunately, you know, you have people that have been fed this, you know, Judeo-Christian bull for decades now. And unfortunately, people are misguided on Israel, thinking that those are the people in the Bible, you know, the covenant people. And unfortunately, you know, they're being taught that from little up, that Israel, unless you fight for Israel, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be blessed. And so they've basically been brainwashed under this line of thinking for decades.
You know, I'm not the Bible scholar. Jason, I know you're closer to it than I am because your dad, bless his heart, he's a minister. But I've been told, and just what I've, you know, I've read the Bible from cover to cover, but Lord knows my memory is really poor. It really is. But it's in my way of thinking. And by the way, we have Matt on the line. Matt knows a lot more about this than I do because he went to divinity school, I believe. You know, the entire Old Testament, the whole thing from the first page all the way to the end of Revelation, the entire Old Testament is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, he's first mentioned in Genesis when, you know, when God told Eve, he said, you know, I will, it goes something like this. You know, the devil, you will crush the devil's head and he will bruise your heel. He was talking about Jesus Christ, you know, and it goes all the way through. You know, so this old covenant, the Old Testament is an old covenant. We have a new covenant right now. It's a total new contract. It's talked about, I believe, in Jeremiah. And I'm going to go back to you and Matt because y'all know more about it than I do. And it talks about, and you know, and some people think, you know, they talked about Romans. Guy talks about, you know, Paul saying, you know, our old Judaic laws, he said, I couldn't obey them. I'm paraphrasing, by the way, guys. I couldn't obey the laws. You couldn't obey them. Your fathers couldn't obey them. He said, you know, the old Judaic laws, they were like a school teacher to getting us ready for the coming of Christ. And, you know, in Galatians, the third chapter of Galatians, people heard me say this 1,000 times. It says that, if you be clothed in Jesus Christ, there's no male, no female, no bondman, no free male, no Greek, no Jew. There's only one in Jesus Christ. You know, and it says in the last verse that of Galatians, third chapter of Galatians, says that, and if you be baptized in Christ, once again, I'm paraphrasing, but the idea is rock solid. If you be baptized in Jesus Christ, the same as the son of Abraham and heir to the promise. So being a son of Abraham, it's a spiritual thing. It's not bloodline. You know, Israel is just, you know, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my works will not pass away. What do you think about that, Jason?
Well, I agree to a point, but, you know, I am what you would call a Christian identity, follower, believer. Basically, what a Christian identity believer is that we believe that the white race, the Caucasian race, are the same people in the Bible, the covenant people. So when people read about Israel, Israel and Judah, they're reading about our ancestors, the white race. And obviously, you know, we don't have enough time to discuss all of that. They can go to ChristianIdentityChurch.net or ChristianRevivalCenter.net, and they can get more information about that. But basically, we believe that, you know, we are those people. So when they talk about this Israel today, present Israel, that's a false state of Israel. They are not the true bloodline descendants of those in the Bible. And so the white race has all the markings of Israel in the Old Testament, because it talks about the signs that you will see of our people, and there'll be kingdoms, there'll be kings, there'll be priests that will come of our people. Our people will be conquerors. They talk about Israel that will conquer other lands. They talk about all these identification marks of Israel, which we believe identifies us. But even if a person says, okay, well, I don't believe that, okay, then that's fine. That's okay. You can still have that belief. Ultimately, when it comes right down to it, is we have a race, we have a culture, we have a religion that we have a right to preserve and exist. And it really comes down to that, is that we have a race that we cherish, we love, we want to honor our forefathers, our foremothers. We want to honor those people that went out through the West. We want to honor our forefathers and foremothers that went across the Atlantic Ocean, that came into Europe and built Europe, those people are our ancestors. We love, we want to cherish, we want to honor our bloodline, and we have a right to preserve that. And those people, regardless who it is, who wants to destroy that bloodline, the thousands of years of that cherished bloodline that has been passed on one generation to the next generation, who wants to destroy it, we have a right to stand up and say, no, we're not going to go easily in the night and allow you to destroy our people. And it really comes to that. We simply have a right to exist. And so there, no, a person can believe in the Bible and be a Christian, and regardless if they believe in Christian identity like we do or not, it still doesn't come to the fact that we still have a right to preserve our race and culture. And really, it really comes to that. And they do not want us to preserve our race and culture, because once we as white people want to love our people, love our race, then we become conquerors again. And our people have always been conquerors. And that's why they do not want our people to love each other, because once they do that, then we will cherish and we will be willing to fight to the bitter end to preserve that.
Matt, I'm going to go back to you now, son. Hey, that was a great answer. I have a few questions. We'll come back. But I'm going to go to Matt and Lee, because I've been running my mouth all night. People, we'll be right back. Hang on. We have our great guest, Jason Robb, on, and we'll tell who he is soon we come back. I forgot to introduce him a minute ago. I'm just getting too old. Be right back, people. Hold on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Former teen running sensation Mary Kane has slammed the Nike Oregon Project and Nike in a story and video appearing on the New York Times website. Kane was a member of the Oregon Project from 2013 through 2016. She joined the group while still a teenager and continued to train in Portland through her freshman year of college.
I joined Nike because I wanted to be the best female athlete ever. I was emotionally and physically abused by a system designed by Alberta and endorsed by Nike.
She alleges that she was constantly told to lose weight and told she needed to get on birth control and take diuretics to regulate her body weight. She says the Oregon Project and coach Alberto Salazar were representatives of the win-at-all-cost attitude of Nike. Nike disbanded the Oregon Project last month after Salazar was banned for 4 years for violating anti-doping rules by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Donald Trump said his administration will pursue raising the age to purchase electronic cigarettes from 18 to 21 in its upcoming plans to combat young vaping. Trump told reporters his administration will release the final plans for restricting e-cigarettes next week, but provided few other details. Currently, the minimum age to purchase any tobacco or vaping product is 18 under federal law, but more than one-third of U.S. states have already raised their sales age to 21. A federal law raising the purchase age would require congressional action. Joe Biden says he welcomes the possibility of a Democratic presidential campaign from billionaire Michael Bloomberg. Speaking to reporters after filing for the New Hampshire presidential primary, the former vice president said Michael's a solid guy. Let's see where this goes. The former mayor of New York City is considering jumping into the race for the Democratic nomination after ruling out a run in March. Remember, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back, and we're going to go back to my co-host Lee is going to comment about what Jason just said, and after Lee gets through, to make this roundtable run smoothly, so as soon as Lee gets through, he's going to throw the ball to Matt, and Matt's going to throw the ball right back to Jason, our guest. By the way, Jason, Rob, he's like a son. I'm going to tell you flat out, I love that kid. He's like my own kid. Have you ever seen anybody you had an immediate, immediate liking to, a chemical connection almost? That's the way he is. I don't know how anybody could not love that kid. He's so nice and he's so smart. He's an attorney. He's a well-known attorney. He saves people all the time from the great Satan, and he's the son of the one and only Pastor Thomas Robb, who's the head honcho of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm gonna tell you what, I spent some time over there with them in Arkansas, in Harrison, and you'll never see nicer, greater, more moral, more honest, more principled people in your whole life. But that's who we got on. We're going to grow right back to him. Lee's got a comment and a question for him, and then Matt said he did too, and then they'll throw the ball right back to Jason. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, yes, Jason. What is the white identity movement? How do they relate to other races like black people? Do they hate black people or hate brown people?
I don't believe so. I mean, I've been raised in this the white resistance. I mean, I'm 45 years old. I've been raised in it my whole life, and you honestly won't. I mean, you may find a few, but for the most part, you're not going to see just people that within movement, if you want to call that, just hating non-whites. I mean, you don't see that happening. All these organizations, white organizations, white activists, they simply love their race and culture and don't want to be destroyed. They don't hate other races. They believe all races have a right to serve their best interests, their culture, and their own heritage, just as much as whites do. And we simply just want to preserve that. You don't see white people in the white activist, white nationalist group. They're just going around just hating non-whites. It's really a farce.
Bingo. And before we go to Matt, I'm going to chime in. I've been invited back graciously. I cannot wait. Jason, the Faith and Family Freedom Conference. Is that, am I pronouncing that right, Jason?
Yeah, it's called a Faith and Freedom Conference.
Correct. It's going to be April the 24th, 25th, and 26th, and I've been invited to speak. I'm so excited. I'm going to hopefully I'll do a better job than I did last time, but I can't wait to speak. And just marvelous people coming together. I can second that. I hadn't heard anybody. Lord knows we don't have. We're too busy trying to keep ourselves being globally exterminated than to hate anybody. But anyway, that's my little two cents. I'm going to go back to, I mean, it's kind of hard to hate when you're fighting. When you're running for your life, a gang of blacks like I have done in South Memphis. You're worried about trying to survive. Hey, what do you think about what we've been saying, Matt?
Interesting hearing this conversation, this dialogue. I've got a question for Jason as an identitarian. You may have heard my tirade in the first hour about how people are trying to pull us back into the old covenant. And I did talk about people who believe that we should eat certain things or not eat certain things. But I also talked about people who think we shouldn't celebrate our cultural holidays of the past. How do you guys look at our cultural holidays of the past, like celebrating Halloween, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, that was a more of a Christian holiday, but it's from the origins of it. But right. Christmas, Easter, things like this. Also, I want to read Romans. I want our audience to understand. I'm going to read Romans 14 real quick. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person believes he may eat only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. So, and it says don't pass judgment on them. So I want people to understand, I am specifically talking about people that are trying to rope us back under the old law. Now, what do you think about those topics, Jason?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that we have to understand that it's not blasphemy to celebrate Christmas or Easter, St. Patrick's Day. I don't believe it's a blasphemy at all. That is part of our culture, our heritage. We understand that Christmas, even though that, people talk about Santa Claus and all that, we understand that Christmas, is the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, some people may say, "Well, it's in October when he was born." Well, that may be true, but it could also be the argument could be made that October when Mary was conceived and he was born then in December. So the fact is that these holidays are not holidays that we worship from the standpoint of like the feast days or tabernacles or something
paganism.
Like that.
Yeah,
you're right. Absolutely. And we know that that is part of our culture, and there's nothing wrong to celebrate that and also believe in your traditional Christianity. I don't see anything wrong with that. And plus, how I look at it, this is how I've always been raised by my dad, is from my parents from little up, they say, if the Jews hate Christmas so much, if they hate Easter, that's even more of a reason why we should celebrate those.
Amen. Amen, buddy. Well, I'm going to keep a Christmas tree up year-round and get me some Easter eggs.
Don't be hating.
I could mention about four different passages through the New Testament, at least, where Jesus celebrates his own culture's festivals and meals and all that. It says he went up to the temple on Sabbath. That was as his custom. It says that in Mark. Luke, rather. But, there's so many passages that talk this way. And Jesus came celebrating his own culture. It said he came eating and drinking, and they called him a wine bibber. The reality is there's nowhere in the New Testament where Jesus says he came to destroy his culture. If anyone had a right to not celebrate the Jewish traditions, it was Jesus who was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament law, right?
Right, exactly. And the thing is, you can go to any white country and they're going to have their own culture. You can go to Germany and Spain and Ireland, Scotland, they're going to have their own culture. You have your own culture in the South. You have your own culture in the North or the West. I mean, white people, wherever we have put our foot at, we have our own culture. It's nothing wrong to celebrate that particular culture wherever we live at.
Well, chime in, guys. Matt made a good point. Talking about Christ celebrated. He came eating and drinking. He also, I'm not a Bible scholar, but his first miracle was the wedding of Cana, and he participated in a wedding, and that's about as cultural of activities you can get. And he also, he made wine. People disagree with that. But guys, kind of shifting gears a little bit, I'm going to ask Jason. Jason was telling me something on the phone, I think yesterday, about this incident that happened in Oklahoma City. Jason, you remember what you told me? Tell the audience about this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, in Oklahoma City, a few days ago, basically some person, some individuals at least, had placed flyers all throughout Oklahoma City and also at the law school in Oklahoma City that said it's okay to be white. And so there was these flyers that were placed all around the city. And as a result of that, the Oklahoma City Police Department, after they got some phone calls, started to do their investigation, started to do their criminal investigation to find out who had put these flyers out there, because they want to see if there's a potential hate crime by simply putting these flyers out there that said it's okay to be white. And that was all. There was nothing else. There was no symbols. There was no organization, that had on the bottom of the flyer. It just simply said, it's okay to be white. And so they're doing a criminal investigation to see who would have possibly done that. And they put in their article in the newspaper that I read, they said that they're investigating, even though there may not be any crime yet, they're still going to investigate to see if there potentially could be a hate crime behind that intent. Putting the flyer that said it's okay to be white. So what I did is I sent them a letter to the Oklahoma City Police Department. And we also, if you want to go to KKK.com, you can see the press release that we have put on there. But basically, I put a, I sent a letter to them that basically said it's nothing illegal. There's no criminal element to put a flyer up that said it's okay to be white. The Supreme Court and federal courts have consistently held that that's a free speech protected activity. And that even the attempt to do a criminal investigation is unconstitutional. And so I sent them an opinion letter on that, just again to let them know that there's nothing wrong with that.
It seems like we're going to, Jason, it's what you tell me, it just sounds like Alice in Wonderland. And,
right.
You know, George Orwell combined, that they would even consider a criminal investigation. Well, people, we got to go to a break and hear the music, and then we'll get cut off. We'll be right back. I think we got one more segment. Be right back in a minute. Hold on to your seats.
Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-Year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network and hear Dr. Reed live Tuesday afternoons during the Reed Hour and by podcast at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
He never had no nary lesson.
Yes, indeed.
Before we go back to our guest, I'm going to make a quick comment. You know what we've been talking about? All of our philosophies match Jacob Lee's, the League of the South, the Klan, the Council of Conservative Citizens. We all have pretty much this, what I'm getting ready to tell you, as a goal. A fellow so eloquently voiced it to me last Saturday, Joel Price. He says the 14 words, if I can remember them. These 14 words I'm getting ready to tell you kind of apply to what we're all talking about. You know, we want to do is secure the existence of our white people and to ensure a future for our white children. That's what it's all about. You know, we can talk about our religion. We can talk about our different organizations. We can talk about the Knights of the Klan, the League of the South, American Renaissance, whatever you talk about. Where did all these guys, the one cement that holds all of them together in their thinking, I think the one common denominator, I would say, we're all out to secure a future for our people and, to exist, to secure the very existence. We're just out there trying to fight for our existence, people, just the right to be, to breathe, to live in this earth. We don't want to be exterminated. We want our children to have a future. That's what we're all after. That's it. And we don't give a stink about you trying to throw this hate crap on us. We don't hate anybody. But you know what? I got news for you. If I do want to hate somebody, it's my own damn business. And I have a right to hate some people. And you know something else? I do hate some people. And you know what? If people are truth, if people won't tell the truth, don't tell me you've never hated anybody your whole life. Because if you do, you're a stinking liar. You know, like I talked about earlier, God hated Esau when he was in the friggin' womb because God knew he was no good. And I'm going to tell you flat out, some people are born just rotten, stinking, no good. And I don't know why, and I don't really care why, because it doesn't matter to me why they're evil, why they're trying to kill me. The only damn thing that matters is they're trying to kill me. That's it. Now, I'll shut my mouth. I'm going to go, hope I'm not skipping around too much, you guys. Jason and Matt and Lee, I'm going to say, you know, Trump made us this big promise. And by the way, y'all can comment on this, what I just said in a minute, if you want to. I'm just covering these other topics I thought was really, really pretty, not, I won't say vital, but they were important to us. Anything that relates to global white genocide, that's pretty much our flagship thing here at Blood River Radio. But this right here relates to it. President Trump said he was going to bring the troops home from Syria. Well, the scuttlebutt I got, the Turks intercepted this communication from I forgot what it was. I can't remember what it was, but it's not important. They sent this communication to letting Trump know they had this communication. I forgot what it was, but so they blackmailed him into not withdrawing the troops from Syria, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, here's the bottom line I'm trying to tell you. Trump said he was going to take the troops out of Syria. Well, guess what? They're not, folks. They're not out of Syria. And guess what part of Syria they're in? They're in the part of Syria that produces just the oil-rich part. So we have United States troops over there, these little mind-numb robots over there fighting for Maul and Paul and apple pie and, you know, Statue of Liberty, fighting for our country, folks. They're over there guarding the friggin' oil. And I heard one guy say, it's like the oil companies with the army. That's what they're doing over there. You know, and I'm going to ask you guys this. If that's true, and I'm almost certain it is, the United States Army has been, the orders have been drawn up, legal orders, the lawyers, and they're in rules of engagement. And they say they're going to shoot Russian troops and they're going to shoot Syrian troops for attempting to take back their oil. Well, how in the crap can American companies and the United States government go over there and say that's their friggin' oil? So, guys, keep in mind, how can they do that? My second part of the question is, what would be the difference if we can go over there in a sovereign nation, try to overthrow their government, steal their natural resources, starve their people? Why can't we bring Russian troops in here and put them in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California on the Mexican border and drive those stinking Mexicans back across the border? What the hell is the difference? Go to you, Jason.
Well, those are two big questions right there. ultimately, we should not be entangled with foreign wars. We should not have our foreign policy being hijacked and controlled by any country. I don't care if it's Israel or some Arab country over there. We have no right to be over there. We have no right to go and attack a sovereign country. And ultimately, our foreign policy has been hijacked by Israel, and that's why we basically have been over there. And ultimately, we should be focusing on America. We should be focusing in our country our people, our borders, securing our borders. We should be taking our armies, United States armies from in other countries and put them on our southern borders to protect the invasion from Mexico and the Central America individuals that are coming in there. They're invading our country. That's what we should be focusing on and not over there.
What do you think about
I'll add to it and say that our government is able to do that. They're able to worry all about the Middle East and keep their attention solely over there because they are not scared of any domestic threat here on homeland soil. And that is exactly what our government should be scared of, because that was how our Constitution was designed, for the Second Amendment, to so that the population could always keep the government in check. And the fact that they're not scared of anybody here, they're able to go all over the world with their military. They don't hardly keep any military in the country now. They've got no fear of us. And that's a really raw place to be. And that the irony is, like Jason said, that and you said, all these Mexicans are coming right across the border and flooding and taking over our country. So, and all the blacks, I'll add to this, all the blacks are taking over the inner cities. And so we should be scared.
Yeah. We most certainly should. So, go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry. Go ahead, fellas.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, that's something that we, our white people, our families, should be concentrated on the affairs of the United States, what's happening here, the population replacement through the invasion of the Mexicans or the Chinese that are coming in legally. We always talk about the illegal invasion, but we never talk about the legal invasion of Chinese and thousands and thousands that are coming in by plane load, coming with illegal status. And the whole idea is to replace our population. It's a population replacement. That's the design of those that want to destroy the foundation of this government and this country.
You know, Jason, you brought up this point. This is our foreign policy being directed by Israel. You're so right. You know, this pipe, this oil, these oil fields over there that the Europeans, that the American army is over there protecting. And, you know, I have this picture, this map pulled up right now. It says Iran, Iraq, Syria pipeline. And it talks about part of it being Russian-backed. Well, you know, the Syrians have been accused of, scuttlebutt I get, have been accused of stealing Russian oil from this pipeline that goes across from all across these countries that are just named Iran, Iraq, and Syria. Well, you know, it's not the Syrians that have been stealing the oil. It's the Israelis, the Jews. This pipeline goes into Israel, folks. And so Jason nailed it. It's my opinion that we're over there. We're a proxy war for Israel. You know, we're over there, got our boys, our young, airhead, empty-headed boys. At least I was drafted. I can say that much. I'm not going to down these guys, but they're just ignorant. They don't know what they're over there for. They're over there, you know, for Goldman Sachs and in Israeli oil companies. But this pipeline goes right into there. I think what I've been hearing is right. This pipeline goes into Israel. I think it goes into the port of Haifa, if I'm not mistaken. But that's what the whole damn thing's about. We're not over there. And Matt said it. We're not over there, you know, helping our people. We should have our troops home on the border. That's what the whole purpose of the United States Army. First of all, the United States Army is supposed to be small. It never was supposed to be big. The militia is supposed to take care of most of that, you know, before they got rid of it in 1913. But that's the whole thing's a farce. What do you think about that? Do you have anything to say, Lee?
I'm just saying, you know, we had all this killing in Mexico with the Mormons and stuff, you know. But President Trump, if he declared Mexico a terrorist state, we could send troops in there to rout out these evil doers. But I guess our government's in on it. They want it, you know. They're, you know, CIA runs the drugs.
Well, yeah, guys, you know what? If we're going to invade anybody, that's a great point. I've said for years we should go into part of, I say, at least 50 miles into Mexico and make it like a buffer state, a buffer zone.
you know, between us and Mexico.
Let's create a real humanitarian crisis down there. How about that?
You got that right. Absolutely. Oh, you got that right.
I will say one thing. I think people need to read George Washington's farewell address, mm-hmm. address. That's an excellent thing for people to read because he basically talks about all this foreign entanglement. That's what we're seeing now.
Absolutely. People, the hour's flown all too fast. Keep circling your calendars, April 2020, 24th and 25th and 26th. We're going to have the Faith and Freedom Conference in Harrison, Arkansas. We're going to have a great time up there. We're going to have a bunch of great speakers and a great fellowship. So people who would tune in this time, next week, God willing, we'll be back on the air again. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Lee. Good night, everybody.